Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of Have You Not Heard? I want to thank you for your patience. It seems like between November and December, technology has been trying to get the best of me, but I will not let it conquer. I'm practicing my resilience and my grit, which is what we are talking about through this series, how life's sufferings, how just everyday inconveniences, things like that that we are up against, especially during these times, we get to practice growing in our character, in our ability to persevere and to keep going and overcome hurdles. And we can do that. God knitted us as humans to be able to do that. And some of us have to work harder than others at that. But all of us have to put in training. So think about it like an athlete. You know, there's some that runners that are just natural runners. And some other of us, I'm speaking to me, are not natural, but learn to love it until our bodies broke down. But other people, they can just keep going and going and going throughout their life and their body doesn't get worn down by it. So we're all knitted differently, but we all have that ability in us because of God to overcome. So today we are talking about overcoming loneliness. So let's get rolling. So did you know that lonely and being alone are two different things? Lonely is a feeling. Alone is a state of being. I've heard it said that one out of three adults experience loneliness in their life. Psychologists describe loneliness as a feeling of separation, isolation, or distance in human relationships. Loneliness implies emotional pain, an empty feeling, and a yearning to feel understood and accepted by someone. I'm sure a lot of you relate. I read a quote recently from Kathy Lee Gifford, and she said something like, "I have felt crushing loneliness at times, but I have never been alone because God is always with me." So if you're a Christian and you're experiencing loneliness, there's nothing wrong, so to speak, with you. It is a human emotion. And there's a fine line and a difference in the two of being lonely and alone. You can feel lonely in the middle of a crowd or in your family gathering or in a marriage. Or you can be alone and not lonely at all. And there's other related feelings. So you might experience loneliness as depression, exhaustion, anxiety, grief, a feeling of abandonment, again, separation. Those are kind of feelings that are associated often with loneliness. It is a feeling that comes from feeling disconnected. And think about it. We were made for connection. Our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who are in union with each other, created humans to be in relationship with them. From the beginning, relationship existed. It's never not existed. And that is why we crave it as human beings. And again, some crave it more than others. Some people are fine with one or two close friends, or some people need a lot more connection than others. So we're all knitted differently, but we are knitted for relationship. And hasn't COVID really highlighted the need for these relationships? Because we feel it in different ways. So I sent out a simple questionnaire about loneliness to some folks that I thought would respond, and they did. And so we have some really interesting wisdom and experiences to share from their journey. So I wish they could have all been on the podcast with me, but just don't have that capability. And think about it though, like I have a panel with me and I'm asking these questions. I have seven questions I ask them, and they're all going to respond in their unique ways. So here the unique things that people are saying about their experience with loneliness. So the first question I ask Is loneliness an issue for you during COVID? So these times we've been in for the last 8 months or so. So again, here are different voices. One person said, the struggles I've had during COVID are threefold. Number one, I feel like my life is not as purposeful without opportunities to connect and serve others. Number two, I've felt stuck within my marriage, my family, without being able to travel. I did not choose all of these restrictions, so it's frustrating. Number three, I have felt a bit depressed, some having to do with family relationships and dynamics, and a lot having to do with disappointment in Christians' responses to the different issues going on in our times, like politics and racism. So I have felt disappointed in the church. Another person said, loneliness has not been an issue for me during COVID. I really can't think of a time that I felt lonely. In fact, I've had a few times in my life where I felt homesick. And I think part of that homesick was a feeling of loneliness, even though I was with other people. So that's a low level of loneliness. Another person said, I haven't felt lonely, but I have felt sad. Now, again, that could be a symptom of the loneliness. I don't really get lonely because I enjoy being alone to read, create, read my Bible, do things around the house, be with my grandkids and family. So there's somebody who didn't experience loneliness. Another person said, yes and no. I do not have as much physical connection with people, and I miss gathering in person. In the beginning of the quarantine, I really did miss hugs. I didn't realize how much I did until I saw my pastor in the grocery store, and he gave me a big old hug, and I just drank that in. It was like a father's hug, so I asked for another one. So on the other hand, though, I have found that I've started new friendships through this COVID experience. I walk a lot, and my neighbors are much more inclined to stop and have a conversation. So that has added to my connections. I also asked if there was another season of life that they experienced loneliness. And one person responded, my husband and I don't have children, so holidays can make us feel lonely. His family lives in another country. My family has passed away. We try to invite friends who are also misfits, so to speak, over to enjoy holidays together. It's a positive effort to be around others who also may be alone. The second question I asked was, how would you describe it? A state of being or a feeling or both? And here are the responses. So in those homesick, lonely times, I felt like there was no one like me, no one who understood me. I wanted to be back where I knew I was loved, cared for, and belonged. Another person said, I miss interacting with people in person, doing life in community. I think I describe it as a feeling, like a yearning. For me, it's a feeling, an ache, a sadness. For another person, they said, it's a feeling. It can easily become a state of being if I glue myself to the couch, watching Netflix, drinking in excess, and don't make time to be outside. Man, that's a great distinction, isn't it? That a feeling can become a state of being. The third question I asked was, what contributes to the loneliness? So here are the responses. It says, I think for me it had a lot to do with being with people who were so different and valued different things and didn't really care how I was feeling, thinking, or doing. So then I felt more lonely and homesick for the people that I did know and relate to. Another person said, restrictions make it worse. Family tensions, inability to live life how I want to live, and I used to live before COVID. Long-term stress and COVID have affected my husband and I and our relationship, and it's highlighted our differences in how we deal with that. You know, I've heard that a lot from people, that marriages are struggling because they're having to go through a time of stress that they've never had to go through before. Sometimes we're so busy that we're not paying attention to our internal reactions, or we can just cover it up easily. by staying busy. And so when we have to slow down, things come to the surface, but it's great opportunity to deal with. All right, so that was my little commercial break. Back to the answers. Another person said, what contributes to it is when I overlook my quiet time, my prayer time with the Lord. Also, being a single person, it's easy to be overlooked and have less contact with people. And y'all, I hear that a lot from my single friends, so that might be something for us to pay attention to, especially during this time in the holidays, to reach out to them. She goes on to say, I don't glamorize marriage because I understand a bad marriage can be horribly lonely. Amen to that one. Most people live in families or have children that reach back to them. So it's kind of natural that you would check on the family. But most people are not even aware of what it's like to live alone. Isn't that the truth? A lot of people have never lived alone or only lived alone for a short period of time. So they don't know what it's like to be single and alone. And she says, for some reason, that helps me to know that it's not just me. Other single people also have this experience. So the fourth question I ask is, what exacerbates the loneliness? When I'm tired, it's much worse. And there's an acronym I think I've talked about before in this podcast, and it's called HALT, HALT. Never get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, because whatever you're dealing with gets totally exacerbated and blown up during those times. Hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. So watch out for those. Another person said media, social media, political discussions, tension, and family that can exacerbate the loneliness. And I think we can all relate to that media and social media thing, which another person did. They said, looking at all the happy, perfect people on Facebook is not helpful. Big capitals there. And I realize I'm comparing my bad day to somebody's great day, or maybe I want to interject just a moment in time that looks really happy, but who knows what's behind the scene. But sometimes emotions overstep intellect. Isn't that truth? And man, a lot of that's going on right now. So we got to really remember to harness our emotions because our feelings are not our truth, like we've talked about before. Our feelings are indicators and they're information. Blaming others makes me feel worse. That's a good point. In some ways, I blame the church because as a church, we do not understand God's desire for us to live in community. I just want to highlight that one that I think that's an issue in the church at large that some people are experiencing because I've heard it from some pastors and different people. That we don't value community as much, like the Bible talks about. But that's a whole nother podcast on a whole nother day. So the another person said reading and watching romance fiction is not helpful either. And I could testify to that. When we were going through our marriage problems, I felt pretty lonely in our marriage. And that was one thing God had me stop doing. Because A, my fantasy life would get inflamed in a bad way. Either, oh, I could leave my husband and go find the perfect person, ha ha. Or, I would compare my marriage to this fantasy marriage. So really bad for me and exacerbated loneliness. So I relate to that one. All right, so now let's look at what alleviates it. That was the fifth question. Prayer alleviates it. The most recent time that this person experienced loneliness, God redirected her thoughts so that she said, I was thinking of others rather than myself. That's a huge antidote to loneliness, is to think about others. I'll interject an experience I had when we took our daughter off to college in California. And man, my mama's heart was grieving and feeling sad and lonely, already missing her. I'm sitting in the airport ready to fly home. And God just pricks my heart. I see a soldier, and I'm just thinking of those mamas that have their kids over in war, and my dad was in the army and experienced that, and I didn't see him for a whole year when I was a kid. So I understand that separation, that loneliness. But boy, it helped to pray for those mamas and those soldiers that are going over there. So somebody else said what alleviates it is prayer, worship music. And let's talk about that for a minute, because there's research that says that singing boosts your immunity, and it even boosts it more if you sing with others. Interesting that that's part of what we're trying to stop in the lockdown, right? But it actually would help us and increase our immunity, strengthen it. Listening to music lowers cortisol levels, which is our stress hormone, and singing produces oxytocin, dopamine, and serotonin in our brain. And those are good things. The dopamine, serotonin are the calming things. Oxytocin, did I say cotton? Because that's wrong. That would be a drug. Oxytocin is the love hormone, and that's a good one to release. Oh boy. Okay, so back to the notes. Let's stick with the notes, Angel. So counseling also helps because, again, talking about things changes our brain chemistry, discussing things with family. They talk about close friends. This person mentioned Paul Scanlon's self-awareness course. I can't vouch for it, but I can vouch for my friend that she's got good, usually chases after good information, but that has really lifted her spirit. So she says she highly recommends it for people. Another person said, I keep it in check, the loneliness, by staying active. Again, that's resilience, building the resilience, building the brain chemistry and the body and the soul. Time with the Lord, worship music. This person mentioned Caroline Leaf's mindfulness exercises, which basically reviews a thought and replaces it with truth. So, we have talked so much about how the thought life is the power seat of your life. And so, what you think is what will shape your attitude, it will shape your feelings, it will shape what you choose to do and your destiny eventually. And that's why God says in Romans 12, 2, be transformed into a new person by the renewal of your mind. So our mind is highly important, and our thought life that is rest in our mind is what we've got to take captive. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 through 6. We've talked about that. In psychology, we call that cognitive reframing. Again, the Bible calls it mind renewal. So, doing that, and then this person also said, oddly enough, running alone helps me. So, again, you would think if you're struggling with loneliness, being alone might not be helpful, but it releases those endorphins. Also, it's a great time to commune with God and with nature and all of those things. Obviously, authentic heart level conversation with a trusted friend. And again, talking things out changes brain chemistry. You can also journal things out, write it out to God. You can talk scripture out, speak it out. There's power in that because it changes our chemistry when we do that. One person said their COVID project was creating a 50-foot flower garden. Wow, that sounds tiring to me, but yay for them. But I've always wanted, so this person said, I've always wanted and never had time to build. So isn't that cool to think about things you've always wanted to do and may not have had time? Also, they added a 5-foot vegetable garden. So just being outside enjoying God's masterpiece, nature, she said, always lifts her up. Staying busy helps keep loneliness at bay. During COVID, it takes effort to find productive activities that are not an option due to social distancing, but it can be done. So the sixth question I asked was, what have you learned from the struggle? Because remember, post-traumatic growth, resilience, grit, the things we're talking about, the good that can come out of struggles and trauma and suffering, is partly, again, what we're being taught. What are we learning? So this person answered, just thinking about that question, I realize I'm not really lonely when I'm alone, but I have been lonely, homesick, even with lots of people around. That's a new revelation for me. Another person said, I realize I'm weaker and more fragile than I thought. Wow, that's humbling, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's for real. I've seen it happen. Life is fragile. Savor it. I realize I need to do lots of work to find contentment in all circumstances. So again, it's not coming naturally to this person, but she's working at it. He or she, I keep saying she, it could be a he. I mixed all these up, so I don't know. They went on to say, I have lots of growth that God is working on me. So they're seeing in the middle of the hard times, the bad times, the restrictive times, how God is shaping and molding them. And that is part of the intent, I do believe, or part of the good that's coming out of these times, if we allow it. Another person said, I learned to avoid negative responses to loneliness, like alcohol in excess, sleeping in excess, anger resulting in outburst. So again, unchecked feelings can lead to anger, and they can be destructive, either, you know, physically or just verbally. And then also hurting myself physically. So this person struggled with loneliness and would do self-harm as a way to deal with it. Another person said, I learned to identify triggers that cause my loneliness and depression and replace self-destructive thoughts and actions with positive ones. So again, there's that harnessing your thoughts and choosing to replace positive with the negative with positive. And the strength, true strength, comes not from the absence of our problems, but how we deal with it. And that's what we're getting to learn through these times, is really to be truly strong. Another person said, Jenny Allen's Get Out of Your Head and Caroline Leaf have taught me that the stories I create in my mind are often untrue and certainly not in alignment with Scripture. Can I say, as a counselor, yes, 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 this is so crucial. And not just as a counselor, as in my own life struggles, I have found that to be so true, especially back in our marriage struggles, because I had created a whole narrative about my husband, about myself, about our marriage, about God, that was just not accurate. It might have, you know, hints of truth, but it wasn't truth. And so I'm operating out of false beliefs. And if you operate out of false beliefs, you're going to end up in a false place and not a good place. So that is huge. And this person recommended Jenny Allen's Get Out of Your Head. Again, can't endorse that because I don't know. But again, trust this friend that responded. Caroline Leaf is somebody that is good if you want to learn about the toxicity of thoughts and how you can replace the positive with the negative. Anything else you would like to share? That was my last question. This person said, it's been a tough season. So again, validating the reality, validating the feelings is important. And what do they do with this tough season? I keep asking God, how do you want me to use my suffering as a teacher? What a great question. I told you there is wisdom in these responses. So ask God, how can my suffering be my teacher? They go on to say, I feel I'm at the very beginning of God's pruning refinement journey. I'm kind of peeking out of the woods and seeing a shard of light to follow. So again, darkness may come, hardships may come, but there's always light, and God will show you the light. In the natural, that's true, and in the spiritual, that's true. another person said, I'm excited to see how the potter molds me. I was in a low place and I'm thankful that it's behind me, I think. Ha ha, they say. And the natural growth of healing and refinement is that in the beginning we have highs and lows and ups and downs, and it can feel like, man, am I really changing, or two steps back, one step forward. But as you persevere, as you keep going, as you keep using your resilience skills and your post-traumatic growth skills, then eventually the journey will even out, not like flat, because that's not our life here on earth, but more like gentle rolls. Or if it does come a high and a low, you're not as rocked by it because you've got all of this internal fortitude that you've built up to deal with it. So another person said, finally, I have to say, now that I've returned to walking daily with God, it makes everything much better. Amen. Nothing else needs to be said about that. Another person said, I don't have to carry any burden alone. I go to God in prayer and I wait for Him to show me the way. I am never alone. I am deeply loved. I am God's child. And I hear in that, this person knows their true identity. And that is an anchor for the soul like no other. Run after that one. This person said, I used to be a country and western listener, and I'm not knocking that genre of music, but it can be a bit depressing sometimes. So now contemporary Christian music is available on my phone, in my car, on my stereo, on my TV. I worship every day by listening and singing and dancing to His music, God's grace. And again, we've already talked about what that does biochemically as well as in your spirit and soul. This person also said, forgiveness and everlasting love fills me up so there's no room for loneliness. So, boy, I love that highlight, because forgiveness is a key to freedom that we often forget. So think about that one. Ask God about that. Another person said, if I feel lonely, the first thing I need to do is pick up my Bible. There's words of life in that. Be brave and practice healthy vulnerability. Get honest with others and with God. You have something to offer. So don't let the enemy of your soul, who attacks with loneliness, keep you in hiding, because you are here for a purpose and God has a purpose for you if you're living and breathing, and somebody else needs you to serve them or enable them or help them to get picked up themselves. Call and check on a friend or make a new friend. That's a simple way to practice that. So we are not alone. Here's my recap. I'm sure we've all related to all of this. There's so much, again, wisdom and truth in these responses. And the Bible highlights and affirms these experiences. I mean, think about David. He was well acquainted with loneliness and separation. Psalm 25 is an example. David's longing to be connected to God, and his reliance upon that relationship is what he's crying out for. Think about the woman of blood, or the bleeding woman as she's called, or the lepers in the Bible. Don't you think they were lonely? Their stories infer loneliness. I mean, they were ostracized from society. They were separated. They were not seen as clean or part of the community. And man, the bleeding woman, she is such an example of resilience. 12 years she was suffering, but she was determined. She had that grit, that long-term goal, that purpose that she knew. Well, she came to know Jesus. And she must have studied about Him and read about Him, heard about Him, however you did in those days. Listened to the stories of the miracles that were going on, because she was determined. And she knew, if I touch His robe, I'll be healed. And so even though she was an outcast, and for 12 years she'd been struggling with this, and nobody could help her, no human had been able to help her. Well, Jesus was human, God in the human body. She knew, and she wouldn't give up. And she also cried out to him. So she risked looking foolish. She risked being, you know, ostracized even more and yelled out and that kind of thing. I just think she's a great example of resilience. You might want to go study that story some more. And then Jesus himself experienced loneliness. You know, on the cross, we know he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, can you imagine the creator of the universe who came down, God with us, so that we know he can relate to every human struggle we have. And he, who was sinless, was separated from his Father and went to hell and conquered evil so that we could be forgiven and we could be free from all of Satan's tricks and schemes, which includes trying to chain us and keep us captive with loneliness. Also in Isaiah 53, way before he ever walked on the scene, he was prophesied about. And part of what they said is he would be despised and rejected by mankind. Think about that. He understands because he's walked in it. And there's scripture after scripture after scripture that reinforces the truth that yes, we're going to have times of loneliness. Yes, there's going to be times where we feel like nobody gets it. Nobody understands. And we can be assured that our God does. And he's with us. And we're never alone. And there's always a light to follow. So in closing, I want to wrap this up and say a couple of things. One, I want to remember to say that I will put in the show notes some of the references I've been referencing throughout the episode today, and also some other scriptures for you to just work off of and bounce off of in order to go deeper with God with this. But remember, we can learn from the voices of today that we've heard through this questionnaire and through stories or just listening to other people. And the voices from 2,000 plus years ago. So we are all in this together. We're all connected. Loneliness is a human emotion that at some point in time we all will deal with. It could be a low level like homesickness, or it could be extreme like purposelessness and feeling like you want to not be here and maybe even suicidal. So if you're struggling today with this, talk to somebody. If you think there's nobody to talk to, then you get out a pen and paper and you start talking to God. Talk to your pet. That's another therapy that is highly helpful. So journal to God. Talk it out. Write it out. Read scriptures to yourself. But start talking it out loud. When it gets out of your head, you can start looking at it differently. And again, it starts changing brain chemistry. And also, surely reach out to other people. There's online help. There's counselors. There's pastors. There's all kinds of folks. But make sure they're feeding you truth that's helpful and uplifting. Help somebody else out. We've talked about that. You know, there's digital volunteering. Did you know that? That you can get online and find places that you can digitally volunteer. So you can stay safe, be at your home, and also help people out. One of my big heroes of resilience is my mom. She did after my dad passed away, and they've been married 60 years. So think about that gap and that loneliness there. But she immediately made a list of friends that she could call and check in on. So she ever felt herself kind of feeling disconnected or lonely at all, she would look at her list, she'd pick up the phone because they're old-fashioned, which is great because we need more of that to really talk to people and check on them. So there's an idea. And then again, I want to close with watching your thoughts. Make sure that what you're thinking is truth. Check the narrative that's running through your head and make sure that it is truth, and you can always replace those thoughts with God's truth, because you won't go wrong with that. And like we talked about before, God's word is like medicine. So it literally starts changing us as we meditate on it, as we speak it, as we sing it, as we pray it, as we read scripture out loud, and then dance, 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 dance. Dance like nobody's watching. All right, you guys, thanks so much for joining me today. Overcoming loneliness. We can do it. We're built for it. We're going to feel it. It's a feeling, but it doesn't have to become a state of being. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to sign off. Lord Jesus, I simply want to ask you to empower us. First, help us know you more and know the reality of your presence with us every minute, every second of the day. And those who don't know you like that, Lord, would you reveal yourself to them in all those myriad of ways that you can do that. Speak to their hearts, speak to their minds, show them how real you are. And then, Lord, help us to know our true identity as you, a child of God, which means we always have a family and we are never alone. And then, Lord, help us build resilience and overcome loneliness and the feelings that come with it so that we can be a hand to other people and help somebody else up. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us all we need in you and through you for the hardships of the day and the sufferings of the day. And you promise that you will be with us and help us overcome. So we love you, Lord. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for joining me today. And please share this with other people that you think may need this and may need some encouragement, some hope, and some steps to overcoming loneliness. And also, will you like and share and review the podcast? Because that helps get the word out also. You guys, look forward to next week where we're going to be talking about overcoming anxiety. Have a good week. God bless you, and talk to you later.